In the day's other headlines, President Trump is asking for $1.5 trillion in defense spending for the upcoming financial year. That's according to details released by the White House today. The request is more than 40% more than last year's spending and is the largest of its kind in decades. The plan also includes continued funding for Trump's immigration crackdown, plus money to hire air traffic controllers and billions of dollars for beautification projects in Washington, D.C. The plan would also cut funding for things like renewable energy projects, housing, and health programs. The budget now goes to Congress for consideration, but on its own, it offers a blueprint for the president's priorities moving forward. March was a surprisingly strong month for the U.S. jobs market, even as soaring energy prices from the war in Iran had many Americans on edge. The Labor Department said today that employers added 178,000 new jobs last month. That's about triple what many economists had expected and comes after a loss of 133,000 jobs in February. The unemployment rate also dipped slightly to 4.3%, though uncertainty about the longer-term impacts of the war is casting a shadow over the broader jobs outlook. Ukrainian officials say that massive Russian airstrikes today killed at least 8 people in what President Volodymyr Zelensky denounced as an Easter escalation. Outside of Kyiv, a Russian drone set an apartment block on fire. While in northwestern Ukraine, local authorities say another attack damaged several buildings and killed at least one. Ukrainian officials claim that Russia's recent use of daytime attacks is meant to increase the risk to civilians. For its part, Russia's defense ministry says that at least 192 Ukrainian drones were shot down overnight, though no damage was reported. In Cuba, the first of more than 2,000 prisoners were released today after the government issued a sweeping amnesty amid ongoing tensions with the Trump administration. A steady stream of men and women could be seen leaving a prison outside Havana today as the results of what state TV described as a, quote, humanitarian and sovereign gesture by officials. Few details were provided about the identities of the released or what crimes they're accused of committing. For those walking free, it was a day to celebrate.
We received the news this morning. They call their names from a list. I am happy and overjoyed to be able to share this news with my mother.
I'm thankful for this gesture, as it gives the opportunity to rebuild my life and rejoin society.
The release comes as the country grapples with an ongoing economic crisis made worse by the Trump administration's limited oil blockade. The arrival this week of a shipment of Russian oil allowed by the U.S. is providing some relief, and Moscow says another tanker is being sent soon. The Artemis II astronauts are zooming closer to the moon, and their view along the way is something to behold. NASA released the first images of Earth taken by the crew. In this one, our blue planet peeks through one of the capsule windows. And in another, the globe in all its glory. NASA said the northern lights were visible and that white glow is the sun being eclipsed by the Earth.
You could see the entire globe from pole to pole. You could see.
Last night, Mission Commander Reid Wiseman said the sight stopped the four-member crew in their tracks. They should fly by the moon by Monday. Back on Earth, NASA officials said the mission is going well and called it an important stepping stone for future moon flights.
We're going back to the moon. We're going to stay there, right? And so this is the first step towards that. We'll obviously build upon that. We'll get eyes on the moon, kind of map it out, and then continue to go back and in force.
Those lunar aspirations come despite plans by the White House to trim NASA's budget. Officials are proposing a $5.6 billion cut next year. That's 23% below this year's spending. Wall Street was closed today for Good Friday after a rough few weeks for stocks due to the Iran war. Trading will resume on Monday. In the meantime, in Rome today, Pope Leo marked Good Friday by carrying a cross through all 14 stations of the Way of the Cross at the Colosseum. He is the first pope to do so in decades. For Christians, Good Friday commemorates the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Events are held around the world, like this procession and reenactment in Germany. In Kenya, thousands turned out for a similar event on the streets of Nairobi. While in New York, parishioners carried a cross over the Brooklyn Bridge as part of commemorations there. Still to come on the News Hour, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank face rising violence from Israeli settlers. David Brooks and Jonathan Capehart weigh in on the week's political headlines. And some candy makers quietly change recipes as climate change hits the cocoa industry.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, headquarters of PBS News.